If you're seeking out examples of the stained glass art of Wilhelmina Geddes, more often than not you'll find yourself heading to small, out-of-the-way churches, although travelling to locations as far apart as Achill Island and North Island, New Zealand. But when you get there, there's nothing small about what the arts and crafts influence windows have to show you. War, death, and the vengeance that happens after. Eleanor Flegg began her journey into the awesome world of Wilhelmina's windows at St. Anne's on Dawson Street in Dublin, where she met Geddes' sinewy saints and gnarly angels in the company of Nicola Gordon Bowe, art historian and Geddes biographer.
You probably have this already.
There's a little bit about the windows there. Yeah, three on the south aisle, William McGuinness. Because people often say to us, you know, have we any sort of Hardy? Well, of course we don't. We've no Hardy Clarks.
Yes.
Here, but...
But you don't need them.
You don't need them, no. Well, people have come in who have said, you know, that these, they consider these are actually better than Hardy Clarks. You know, that they would... They're very excellent, very good.
The third window isn't lit. It's a bit dark. The central panel is an angel who looks like he would burst you as soon as look at you. He's got scaly predatory wings and a really stern look. I've just been visiting St. Michael on Dawson Street, and I found him absolutely terrifying. I've rarely seen a more chilling angel.
An avenging angel. Well, he is the patron saint of soldiers. And I think to anyone who was experiencing the First War, that window was made just at the end of the First War. The war was a chilling thing. And this was a man who was responsible for the enormous amount of young lives that were being lost in the war. He was the person who ferried their souls, hopefully, to heaven. And so he had a daunting task. And this is typical of Geddes, in that she doesn't just take the usual images, the conventional images of saints that we might know about. St. Michael might have fiery wings, but he could look like a rather beautiful, fair-haired hero. Her angel is somebody who has to navigate the fears and the suffering that people have gone through. So you see beside him, protected by him, these tiny little figures in khaki of the two men who are commemorated in the window. So there is a sort of grimness about that. And you see their recently dead bodies awaiting transport to the next world, which is a very serious subject, and you see angels, and all the angels are quite grim, who are attending them, because this is a serious business. Geddes was a painter who painted on glass, and I think we mustn't be... It's very easy to just think, oh, another stained glass window, but what is so wonderful is that her painterly skills happen to find their vocation on glass.
Tell me a little bit about St. Patrick and St. Columba. I had never imagined them as men of character, but of course they must have been.
Fierce and unrelenting, one critic called them. You see, the thing is about Geddes, her religion is a fierce, passionate, fighting religion. So she has focused in her window in St. Sedmer's in Inver, just outside Larne, on these two island-changing, life-changing men. And Columba was regarded as a hero during the Celtic Revival because he was a man for Ireland. He was a great scholar. He was of high Irish birth, but he was a bad boy. He was subversive. He had to go into exile because for his misdeeds. He was a fighter. He was a man who did everything with his hands. He dug. She's got an image of him digging the soil on Iona. But he was also a great scholar. And of course, he had to live in exile. So she shows him at the moment when he is gazing back at his native Derry with great sadness, knowing he's going to have to go to the island of Iona and live in exile for the rest of his life because he cannot stay in Ireland. And the sadness and the strength and the faith and the power and the sheer physical prowess of these men, they're burning. Patrick, it looks as though he's on fire. And Columba, his body, somebody said to me what an incredibly physical window it is. This is somebody who is able to use the human body as an expressor of a conveyor of such passion that I can't think of anyone else doing that at all. And its sadness and its longing. He is a man who would have moved thousands. And then he was revered at the time that Geddes was making The Window. Patrick Pearse revered him. He was revered in Ireland in a way that I don't think Jesus was by the Celtic revivalists, because he was a man of action, a man of thought. And people were really looking at St. Patrick because he had met Oisin. He had met the last of the Fianna. So there was this connection between the ancient Celtic world and the land of the heroes. So these men are heroes for our time, or her time. Stature's something that she didn't seek. You know, so many artists are very good about managing their careers. She was really bad at managing her career. I mean, her experience of... She was asked by, you know, all sorts of luminaries to design this huge rose window for Ypres, for the only Catholic commission she did, actually, interestingly, in Belgium. And it commemorated the king of the Belgians. And she turns up to the dedication and disappears into the crowd, and she doesn't sit in her seat in the front row. She doesn't get introduced to the new king. She doesn't get introduced to anybody, and then writes an extremely embittered letter about it to her sister and is thoroughly miserable. But she simply couldn't bring herself, and I'm sure we've all had self-doubts about being in places if you ever are asked to do something perhaps more prominent than you really want to be. But she really did shoot herself in the foot.
Nicola Gordon-Bow there, and the reporter was Eleanor Flegg. And Nicola Gordon-Bow's biography, Wilhelmina Geddes, Her Life and Her Work, is out now from Four Courts Press.